God's creation is very good. It is very good. Hallelujah. And that is what you and I are a part of. We're a part of something great. We are a part of this awesome creation of God. And the best thing about it, it was designed to be eternal. Hallelujah. It was designed to be eternal. And you and I were created to be eternal, just as God is. And that is why when he formed us out of the dust of the earth, he breathed himself into us, the word of God says. He breathed the very life-giving spirit of God, the Ruah of God, was breathed into us, and we became living souls. Hallelujah. Are you a living soul today? Hallelujah. Do you have life in you today? Glory to God. That is the awesome thing about it. And I know that the world is a challenging place, and it's so easy to forget who we are, whose we are, and what God is doing in the midst of our lives. Life may be short because of the sin condition, but you and I are still eternal beings. And even though the flesh has to die due to sin, the spirit that God has breathed into us will live for eternity. And so, because of our relationship with Christ, we are being reconciled to God. That is what the Lord is doing. He is reconciling us to himself. And he is enabling us to become adjusted to his kingdom. Hallelujah. We know the world in its fallen state, but God wants us to get to know his kingdom. And that begins with understanding who we are, our identity. And God has appointed us to be the people that he has called to represent his kingdom in this world. And you and I are called to represent not just ourselves, but the kingdom of God. And that means all that it is, God is making available to us so that we can be his witnesses. And that is why there are things in the Christian life that we are responsible for, even as God is always working in the midst of our lives. And there are two parts to life: those things that God is doing, and then there are those things that we must also do. And that is why we are called to suit up. We must suit up in the righteousness of God, in the ways of God. We know the ways of the world. We're taught that every day. We're being indoctrinated in the ways of the world. Do you know that? We're being indoctrinated in the ways of the world. No matter what TV programs you watch or movies you watch, there is a form of indoctrination that is taking place. When we go to schools, when we attend these classes, and we get involved in the culture at our jobs, at work, it's all part of the indoctrination that takes place when you're part of a society. And so often we don't look at it that way. We think of being indoctrinated as something that happens when you're part of a cult or when you're a part of some sort of religious group. But that is not true. It takes place in every aspect of life. And so, depending on who you serve, that will be the direction or the foundation from which your indoctrination comes from or takes place. And so God says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that is the principle that God is working out throughout the entire Word of God. From Genesis to Revelation, we see God working out this process of helping people to be spared from the cultures around them so that we would not be continuously indoctrinated by the ways of the world, but that we would be indoctrinated in the ways of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And so you and I are part of something great. And he began this journey, this story, as we learn in the book of Genesis, in the garden. Hallelujah. In the garden. You remember the garden? Hallelujah. I know you do. And so my question today is, why a garden? Why a garden? God could have put us anywhere. We could have started out in cities. He could have created all types of environments. He's done all types of things. There are planets. There are things that are out there that we don't even know about. There's things about the earth and the world we don't even understand and know about. But God chose a garden. Why a garden? And God has called us to fulfill this call of being a part of this creative work that he began. Have you ever been to a garden before? Oh, yes. There's something about the tranquility of a garden. Oh, it's so peaceful, so tranquil. There's something about being in the midst of the garden. Have you ever been there? Do you like the garden? This is the environment that God chose for us. In the garden, everything was provided for. Everything was there. It was a well-orchestrated atmosphere. And God was establishing an atmosphere that was conducive to the bodies and the life that he had called us to live. And so the life of the garden is a place that helps us to understand that we can trust in God, that we can look to him, and he is our source of wisdom, of strength. He provides all of our needs according to his riches in glory. In the garden, the fruit was already mature and growing up. God had already created it days before. And so there is Adam and Eve, not even having to work. They were just enjoying everything that God said, it is good. It is good. And the work of God in your life and in my life is always good. It's always good. It's always there. It's designed to help us to understand that we can trust in God. We can relate to him. We can interact with him. It is the place where he met with Adam in the cool of the day, and he walked with God. God walked with him, and everything that they needed was laid out before them. And that is what God is restoring us back to. And so today in Colossians 3:12, it says, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. These are attributes of God. These are a picture of who God is. God is holy. And think about it as God being a spirit. He is spirit, right? And if God is spiritual, he has no physical body to draw his or cause his attention to be focused upon. He is these attributes. And who he is tied up. His identity is tied up in compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. And this is why God does not want us to be caught up or to be indoctrinated by the cultures around us, because they do not represent these things. This is what the kingdom of God is based upon, the principle of the holiness of God. And so I would like to use as a theme today, atmospheric conditions. Atmospheric conditions. Are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Hallelujah. Well, let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word. And we ask, oh God, that you would help us to navigate through life, being able to adapt and manage through the atmospheric conditions that we will face, while maintaining an atmosphere of the peace of God and the tranquility of God, that the attributes of God, the holiness of God, would be established in the midst of our lives. So God, we trust in you today. We look to you today. Give us understanding. Help us to see and to perceive, even as the word of the Lord is being brought forth. God, by your Spirit, speak to us and help us, Lord, to apply these words that we might have revelation of you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, atmospheric conditions, everywhere you and I go, everywhere we find ourselves in the midst of any type of place or persons, we are going to deal with atmospheric conditions. And depending on the spirit that is in the air, that will set the conditions of the atmosphere. And when God created man and he created Adam and Eve, he placed them in the garden where the atmosphere had been predetermined. It was pre-established so that they could thrive, so that all of their needs would be met, and so that they would be of a right mindset to walk with God. And all day long they experienced all that God had provided, so that in the evening they could walk with God and talk about it. Hallelujah. And talk about it. And I would submit that today you and I should be practicing this principle of going through our day having an experience that God has established for us, so that in the evening we can talk about it. We can discuss what God has done throughout the day, what he has created and what he has revealed to us, what he is able to do in the midst of our lives, that there would be a testimony to share. This testimony is the very thing that God is calling for in our lives. And so we are being molded and shaped by God so that we can align ourselves to the atmospheric conditions of the Spirit of God. God is creating atmosphere so that we can abide in him. And what Satan did in the garden was he took the focus off of what God had done and put it on the flesh, on the tangible things, rather than seeing the magnificence of the work of God and the inspirations of God and being able to say, oh, look at what God has done. Satan posed the question, did God really say? And introduced doubt in order to bring down the joy of the Lord and the glorious works of God, to introduce the idea that God had ulterior motives in hiding things or keeping things from Adam and Eve. There was only a half-truth. God was protecting them from evil by creating an atmosphere that was designed to enable them to grow. And once our senses are tuned to the natural things, or putting an emphasis on the created things, then our senses become dull to spiritual things. And what God created, he created in order to help Adam and Eve adapt to the Spirit and the Spirit of God. And it was second nature to them. It was nothing for them to talk to God, to meet with God. And today we find that people have a very difficult time meeting with God, spending time with God. Even Christians have a hard time spending time with God. There is no real desire to fellowship with God. The desire is to attune and align ourselves with the desires of the flesh, the needs of the flesh, the things that we feel we want to have taken care of. And how many times have we heard people say, well, I feel like this, or I feel like that. It is a very common phrase, how people feel. But God is not looking for us to operate based on how we feel, but on how he has directed us so that we can have eyes to see that we're in a warfare designed to rob us of our spiritual sensitivities for God. And so this warfare that is taking place is why God calls us to suit up. We have to be mindful. We have to be aware. We cannot go through life ignorant of Satan's devices. But we must be able to experience God. And so as Paul says to the Colossians in verse 12 of chapter 3, that we have been chosen of God. Hallelujah. You are chosen of God to be his ambassador, to be his representative. It's not an accident. You have been called of God. You have been established in God. He has saved you. He has delivered you. He has given you experiences that have brought you to a place where you have had a revelation of who he is and all that he has done. And because of the goodness of God, you are putting on the heart of compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. This is what it takes to grow in God and in order to establish an atmosphere. In fact, you're counteracting an atmosphere that already exists in the fallen world. And God says when you put this on, it becomes a shield, or it becomes a strong tower or a guard against the work of the enemy. It's the shelter of the Almighty. It is actually the characteristics of God we clothe ourselves in. And so the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5 is something that we're all familiar with. We understand that there is a spiritual work. This is a spiritual work. It's not just something that you practice or you do, but it is something that is manifested from within you. It is something that grows up from within you. The more you spend time with God, the more he aligns you with his spirit. Your spirit and the spirit of God begin to come together. And then you begin to bring forth fruit. Hallelujah. Fruit comes after the leaves have grown in, after the plants have flowered. Then the fruit begins to grow. It begins to manifest itself. It's not always in the very beginning, but it's sometime along the process, sometime after the nutrients and the conditions are properly met, that the plants are able to bring forth fruit. And it is the same for you and I. And that is why atmospheric conditions are so very important. And so you and I have to understand why Paul says to the Galatians, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Why is that important? Because you don't want to be ruled by how you feel. How you feel does not dictate the conditions of the atmosphere of the kingdom of God. That is what Satan introduced in the garden. And that is why in verse 25 he says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. There is an unctioning of God. There is a stirring of the Spirit of God that works in the life of the believer, in the heart, the very soul of us. And as we walk with God, there is this anointing that is always brewing within God's people that enables us to live our lives in a state of crucifixion, where we are not allowing the way we feel to govern our lives. Our decisions, our thoughts and actions are all brought under subjection to the directions of the Word of God so that we can be restored back to what God originally intended for us to experience. The right atmospheric conditions in order to be able to resist what Satan is doing in the garden of our lives. And so once our senses are tuned to the natural, the senses become dulled to the spiritual. And that is why so many people go through life living as if there is no spirit realm, as if the realm of the spirit does not exist, as if it's not even a factor, as if it's not something. Yet it is more real than the realities that we live out each day. In fact, we probably are living more of a deception than we are a reality. Why? Because we're believing in what we see. And God has called us to have faith in the unseen realm. And that is the realm of the Spirit of God. And the reason we cannot see in the realm of the Spirit is because God had originally created us to be able to operate within certain garden-like atmospheric conditions, where that atmosphere was conducive to cultivating a relationship with God. And then the garden shifted when sin came into the world. In Genesis 3:20, it says, "Now the man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all the living. And the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them." And so this is the first time we see that man is being clothed and God clothes them. God clothes them. And this is symbolic, actually, because they were already clothed. They were clothed in the righteousness of God. They were clothed in the attributes of God, in all that he was and all that he is. God breathed into them. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. But Satan deceived them and brought them to a point where they said to God, "We are naked. We are naked." And God said, "Who told you you were naked? You are the way I created you to be." In this atmosphere, in these conditions, the temperature is perfect. There, all that you need is being provided for. There is nothing in the garden that will harm you. Everything here has been established for you. All you need to do is follow my directions. And every day you can meet with me and we can talk about the things that you have experienced in the garden. And so man was deceived. And as a result, Satan changed his focus from those things that God had established to their flesh, themselves. All of a sudden, they said, "We're naked." And that is when everything began to change. And God said, "I have to clothe them. I have to clothe them." And so God clothe them. And that is what has been the conditions of the atmosphere that have been established in humanity ever since. Once our senses are tuned to the natural, the senses are dulled to the spiritual. And that is why we cannot put an emphasis on the flesh, on the things of this world, the created things. They're designed to transfer our focus from the things of the Spirit of God to the things of the flesh. And we become focused on those things that we want in life, all of the things that life has to offer. But we're not focused on the things that God has to offer. And that is his kingdom and its power and authority. Hallelujah. That is to be like him, that we shall be holy. He is holy. Hallelujah. And you and I are called to be holy in God. And that is what God is trying to restore us back to. Adam and Eve, they were holy in the garden. And you and I, we are to be holy. That is what God has made us to be. As the people of God, we are sanctified in Christ, or through Christ, the Word of God says. That means we're set apart for God's use. Holy means we are vessels that God has set aside for the purpose of his own good pleasures. Hallelujah. That means you can be used of God. Hallelujah. How many of you have utensils in your house that you will use if they're dirty? Yeah, no. No, you don't. No, you don't. You don't want to use anything dirty. You go into the kitchen, even if it's already clean, if it doesn't seem right, all you have to do is see one little thing. And what are you going to do? You're going to wash it. Does anybody have to tell you to wash it? Do you even consciously think about washing it? No, it's just a natural response. You just say, oh, there's something on there. And you could be doing 100 other things in your mind. You got things going on. You just saw something. You instinctively begin to wash it out. That is what it means to be holy. God says that I want to just wash you out. Oh, did you go out into the world today? Did you go and deal with certain situations and circumstances? When you come back, you need to be washed out, and you need to talk about it with the Lord. This is what God is working out in our lives so that we can understand he is to be a part of our lives. We are being cultivated by God to adapt so that we can be ready for his restorative work, establishing the kingdom of God. There's a day when Christ will return and establish his kingdom. Isn't that what the Word of God says? And that is why you and I must be ready. God says, I'm preparing you. He says, and I'm preparing a place for you. Do you think that place will be dirty? No, no, it will not. It will be clean. In fact, Jesus says, I'm coming back for my bride. He says, I'm coming back for the church that is without spot or wrinkle. Hallelujah. That's the holiness of God. And we see this story kind of related to us in the book of Acts. And I love the book of Acts because it tells us about the beginnings or the birth of the church and what it takes to breathe life into the church, into those who are unclean, to make them clean. In verse 1 of Acts 10, it says, there was a man, Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian cohort, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household and gave many alms to the Jewish people and prayed to God continually. Do you see that? This is the manner of man that he was. This is the type of person. There is something about a person whose heart is tender towards God. In fact, he gave alms. That means he supported the work with his finances, the work of the ministry to the Jews. And he prayed to God continually. And we can clearly see that he really didn't know God, but yet he prayed to God. And as a result, God responds. And saints of God, if you have a heart for God, He will respond. Even if you don't know, even if you don't fully understand, if you just say, God, if you're there, if you're real, show me, teach me, help me to get to know you, God. And in your heart, you're reaching out for God. This is what God is looking for. This is what God is responding to in all of our lives. There is something about this desire for God. So this man had this desire for God. And it goes on in verse 3, it says, in the ninth hour of the day, he clearly saw in a vision an angel of God who had just come in and said to him, Cornelius. Cornelius. Hallelujah. How many of you would like that? Hallelujah. There you are doing what you're doing. All of a sudden, you have this angel of God just come in. Just come in. I bet you'd be scared to death. You know you would be scared. Somebody just showed up coming in your house. You'd be like, oh my Lord, how did you even get in here? A lot of questions for Cornelius. But God sent an angel. And when your heart is for the Lord, God has an angel ready to meet your needs. God will dispatch an angel. An angel will come to minister to you. The Word of God says it's a ministering angel. He refers to oftentimes. If your heart is for God, God has a way of reaching those who are lost. And if their heart is genuine, if their heart is authentic, and they are willing, and they will respond to God when He shows up, God will make sure the opportunity presents itself. It says, and fixing his gaze on him and being much alarmed, he said, what is it, Lord? And he said to him, your prayers and alms have ascended as a memorial before God. What? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, my Lord. I tell you, when an angel shows up, you're going to say the same thing. What is it, Lord? It's like he wasn't even surprised, isn't it? It's almost like he expected him, like it was a common thing. And I would submit to you that because his heart is right, because he has been praying and talking to God, there was a spiritual shift in the atmosphere of his home and of the place that he was. And it was conducive for the holiness of God to show up in the form of an angel in order to speak to him. And he had no spirit of fear because the presence of God was there. Hallelujah. And he said, your prayers and alms have ascended. Oh, my Lord. Saints of God, if there's no prayer and alm being ascended from you, how can God clean up your atmosphere and bring forth angelic hosts from heaven when they're used to being in conditions and atmospheres established by God? Hallelujah. You and I have to do the same thing. We have to recreate this garden that God has established, and we have to make sure that the atmosphere is right in our home, that it is conducive to the attributes of God, that there is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness, and that there are alms and prayers going up and down in the midst of your heart. I see that as stirring up the atmosphere of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, and the alms of the Spirit of God are ascending and descending. Oh, saints of God, you've established an atmosphere and conditions that are right for a visit from God. Hallelujah. God wants to restore what was lost in the garden. And so verse 5 says, he says, now dispatch some men to Joppa. Send for a man named Simon, who is also called Peter. He is staying with a tanner named Simon, whose house is by the sea. Notice he tells him exactly who he is and where he lives. Does God know where you live? Hallelujah. Has God ever been to your house? Have you invited him in? Are there communications of alms and prayers going up and down? You see, when there's this stirring of the atmosphere, this presence of God that's established in your life, all the conditions are right for you to walk with God in the cool of the day, for you to be able to have a different life experience than others. Hallelujah. And so verse 7 says, when the angel who was speaking to him had left, he summoned two of his servants and a devout soldier of those who were his personal attendants. And after he had explained everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. Saints of God, I pray that you have a testimony to share with others, that you have a story to tell of your encounters with God. And as you walk with God, as you commune with God, you will be able to have a realization of just how much God has done for you. And the realm of possibility begins to expand in your life. You begin to realize nothing is impossible with God, that you can have a relationship with him that is conducive to his kingdom and all that he has and all that he is. And so they went and they shared their story, and God directs his people, those whose hearts are yielded to him, to those who are operating in his atmosphere, in his presence. God has restored us so that we can operate in the presence of God. The ways of the Lord become established in the midst of us. His glory begins to fill our heart and our lives. Saints of God, don't let Satan rob you of the divine presence of God and the atmosphere of God because you're focused on how you feel or the tangible things of this world and life, and we're so busy working the garden. God says all provision has been made. Your needs are all being met. God is the source of your life. All that you are, all that you need, God provides. And so God says you need to have prayers and alms ascending and descending before God. You need to make a relationship with God come to life by establishing the right atmosphere. Do you have a heart of love and joy and peace? Are you walking with God? Oh, if you're not, then it can be established by talking to God, simply by calling upon the name of the Lord. In fact, Paul says to the Romans, he says, he who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, shall be delivered in some translations. And you and I can be delivered from whatever our conditions are, whatever our situations are, whatever the circumstances are, we can be delivered. In verse 9 of Acts 10, it says, the next day as they were on their way and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. Now, I want you to think about this, because Peter was praying several times a day. It was what the Jews did. They had a prayer ritual. They had the morning prayer when they first got up. Then they had the mid-morning prayer, which was about 3 hours later. Then they had the noonday prayer, which is around noon. And then they had the mid-afternoon prayer around 3 p.m. Then they had their evening prayers. And so there was this around-the-clock time of prayer. And this is why Paul says, walk in the Spirit. in the right atmosphere, when you're a prayerful person, when you're communing with God, there is an atmosphere that will move with you. You will be in an atmosphere that is sealed by the Spirit of God, so that as you are engaged with various situations and circumstances, you're not just being bombarded with all of these things that are being brought up against you because of the world and the experiences and the things that need to take place as you live your life. You won't be overwhelmed by them, but you will be buffered by the Spirit of God, so that nothing can come beyond you more than you can bear. God shields us. He covers us. And there's this filter that God establishes, like a force field that comes up, so that when the enemy is firing darts or trying to cause chaos and confusion, trying to bring in doubt and bring you to a place where you're second-guessing yourself, you just step into the presence of God. And that is why we pray about everything. We take nothing for granted. We say, Lord, show me. Lord, lead me. Lord, guide me. Lord, help me. Show me what I need to do. And we need to be in the practice of praying and allowing alms to go up and down, so the Spirit of God can be constantly renewing us, restoring us, so that we can do what God is calling us to do. As these men were on their way, as they were obeying the directive of Cornelius, as they were doing what they were called to do, what they were commanded to do, their obedience caused this whole scenario to begin to unfold. I think it's very specific that God points out, as they were on their way. As they were on their way. Many things do not happen in your life, in mine, until we are on our way. On your way is a picture of faith and trust in God. That you understand that God is directing you. He is telling you that this is what you need to do. And you will only have that as you commune with God. As we spend time in his presence, we begin to hear his voice, like Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. In other words, and then they get on their way. And you and I have to learn how to get on our way. Satan wants you to stop and focus on the wrong thing. He says, doesn't it look good? Doesn't it smell good? Oh, if you will just taste it, you will see. And the word of God says that Satan beguiled them in the garden. And as a result, they tasted. And many of us, we're all being tempted by these things in the world. Some are being tempted by wanting more money because they have more bills than they have money, because they bought more things than they had money for. They had situations once they got in a jam where now we're stuck up against a wall between a rock and a hard place, and we're now having to become a slave to those who would employ us. And that is a bad place to be. That is the place the Word of God says, avoid it. Avoid it as much as you possibly can avoid it. He says, avoid it. Don't put yourself in that position. He says, if you're faithful with the few things, God will make you ruler over many. So stay within your means. Stay within the garden of God's provision. The garden starts out small, but as you are faithful in the small garden, it begins to grow and expand. And your garden, your kingdom will expand, and you will find yourself in an atmosphere that God has established that is greater than you could have imagined. This is how God works and how he operates. But Satan wants you to get caught up in these tangible things that become a distraction. So now you have to have these things instead of having a pursuit of God. And they're designed to displace godliness so that you can get caught up in this thing that Satan has established, this illusion of satisfying things that never satisfy. And so Peter went up on the housetop, and it was the sixth hour. And it says, but he became hungry and was desiring to eat. Isn't that what happens? Soon as you decide you want to talk to God, you want to spend time in prayer, you want to get in the Word, all of a sudden your flesh starts to rise up. That's the fall that comes from the garden. That is what happens. This is your designated time. It's not like it was a surprise. It's a designated time. And God has designated times for us, and that is why it's so important to follow God's timing. Over my years in ministry, I have seen so many people miss on a move of God, on a working of God, on a divine encounter, because they got caught up in Satan's deception. And they give you these ideas that, well, you know, it was the only time I could do it, or I had to because my boss said I had to do it. These are demonic distractions. They are designed to keep us from fulfilling the call of God and the designated times. You ever hear people say, well, I couldn't come to church because I had a previous engagement? You ever hear people say that? You ever hear that? Does that make sense to you? Does that make sense? How often do you go to church? When is the church? Isn't church on the calendar every Sunday? So what could previously be on your calendar before the Lord's day? How does that, do you see the mentality? That's demonic deception. I'm not kidding you. That is demonic deception. And people get caught up in this kind of thing over and over again. And we wonder why we are in the condition that we're in. It's because we're establishing an atmosphere that is not established in God. We are breaking the protocol of the very thing that is necessary for the move of God to take place, to take us beyond where we already are. And that is why so many people are stagnant in their Christian walk, in their life, because instead of increasing in God, we're trying to balance things out with the world and the needs. And, oh, well, we want to do this and we want to do that. But everything that is being done, think about it, is designed to appeal to the flesh. Oh, it's designed to appeal to the flesh. You want somebody to feel good. You want to make sure that, you know, that you don't upset anyone, that people aren't discouraged or they aren't brought to a negative place. But that is not your focus. Your focus is establishing an atmosphere where the Spirit of God can work and training up the members of your household to do the same. Once you become a compromiser of the things of God, then it will transfer to your children and your children's children. It will move throughout your life. It will move all around you, and you will find yourself outside of the garden. Outside of the garden. And guess what? There's no healing outside of the garden. There's no deliverance outside of the garden. There's no divine provision outside of the garden. In fact, you will now have to work. Isn't that what God said? He said, now you will have to work it out. You're going to have to till the garden. Nowhere did Adam didn't know anything about working. He didn't know anything about working. All it says is that he would just meet up with God at the cool of the day. He was in the garden. The garden was a place of tranquility. All the birds were chirping. Oh, it was beautiful colors, and the temperature was just right. The atmosphere was just right. This is what God is trying to get us to get back to. He is trying to bring us back to the garden. We have to establish the ways of the Lord. We have to establish ourselves in God. And Satan has a strategy to beguile you. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, he does. He knows what it will take to keep you. Some of us don't take much. Hallelujah. Don't take much. Nope. Doesn't take much. He's got a strategy for each of us that works. Why? Because he's been at this a very long time. He's been at this a very long time. And you and I have to learn how to resist the devil so that he will flee from us. How do you resist the devil? By establishing an atmosphere where he can't work. Hallelujah. You are establishing the garden atmospheric conditions, and there are alms and prayers going up and down, and there's an angel of the Lord that shows up to minister to you in your time of need. Oh, saints of God, God is restoring us back to the garden. This is what life is really all about. And we have opportunity to practice. We're practicing. We all make mistakes. We all fall short of the glory of God. The righteous may fall seven times, but God says, you will rise again. Hallelujah. Why? Because God will send an angel. He'll lift you up. God will send someone with the word. He will send someone to share, to speak. Because even when you can't hear from God, God has somebody around you who can hear and who is sending up alms and prayers before God. And God will send them. And just at the right time, just when you need to hear from God, they show up. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of us have experienced the angelic hosts and moves of God in our lives? God raises up people to speak. God wants to use you. He wants to use me as the vessel that he can pour himself into, that have alms going up and down, so that those who don't know, hallelujah, but their hearts are ready to receive, God says, I want to use you. I'm going to send you. And that is what is taking place here. And so Peter, as he became hungry, God says, I got your hunger. I got your hunger. And so he says, while they were making preparations, he fell into a trance. Hallelujah. God said, oh, no, 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 devil. You're not going to distract him with hunger pains now. But God still made sure that preparations were being made. Hallelujah. And you might be hungry. God knows what your natural needs are. He knows what it is that the Satan is going to use to be a distraction. And God will find a way to guard you and to make sure those needs are met so that you don't get ensnared and focus on the wrong thing. And so God says, I'm going to put this guy in a trance before his hunger pains keep him from praying at all, distract him from praying. And so as he falls into this trance, he sees the sky open up and an object like a great sheet coming down, and it lowers by four corners to the ground. And there were in it all kinds of four-footed animals and crawling creatures of the earth and birds of the air. And then a voice came to him and said, get up, Peter, kill and eat. Oh, my goodness. And so Peter says, by no means. Lord, I have never eaten anything unholy and unclean. Hallelujah. And so Peter say, I am walking with God. I am following the law of Moses. I am being obedient and operating according to your directions and your plans. I have never eaten anything unholy and unclean. Hallelujah. I wish I could say that. I've sent some unholy, unclean food. Boy, woo. Lord knows I'm like, my goodness. That's why you got to pray and eat. I learned why you got to pray. You eat. I've been places and you go eat that and you go, oh, this is unholy and unclean. Right? You don't want to eat that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so Peter is acknowledging that he's been faithful to God. And again, this voice came to him a second time in verse 15. It says, what God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy. Hallelujah. Think about that. That is awesome, isn't it? He's saying, look, you can now have pork chops and bacon. Don't you consider that unholy. It's not like it wasn't. It was unholy now. But God said, no longer consider it. Hallelujah. My, what prayer can do. Hallelujah. What can prayer do? What? Glory to God. Saints of God, sometimes we have these concepts in our mind about what we think is the right thing, and God causes a shift. And so God had to change the mindset of Peter so that he began to see what God was trying to accomplish in restoring the whole world, not just the people of Abraham in the natural, in their lineage, but the whole world the gospel is for. And so in verse 16, it says this happened three times and immediately the object was taken up to the sky. Meanwhile, these guys are on their way. God is at work with all the parties involved. And so God will restore the hearts of the yielded and interacts with those who are tuned to his atmosphere. Hallelujah. To the atmosphere of God. Don't allow Satan to distract you and get you caught up in things so that you will lose your focus on God, so that you will not be able to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. God wants to restore us back to the conditions Adam had in the garden. In fact, in verse 31, it goes on, it says, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard. This is what God is saying to Cornelius. Your prayer has been heard and your alms have been remembered before God. Don't you love that? God remembers. Hallelujah. He doesn't forget, but he remembers. All this time you have been talking to God. And God says, I remember our conversations, Cornelius. I remember the things that you've lifted up before me. And he says in verse 32, therefore, send to Joppa and invite Simon. So here he is telling him exactly what to do. This is not something that just randomly happened that came to mind. This is directions from God. Send to Joppa and invite Simon, who is called Peter, to come to you. He is staying at the house of Simon the tanner by the sea. Even when you travel, God knows where you are. Hallelujah. Why? Because when you're sending up alms, the Lord checks in with you as you check in with him. And God says, I know he's down there somewhere by the sea. He's vacationing by Simon the tanner down by the sea. But how many of you know even when you're on vacation, you're not on vacation from God? That God says you still need to commune with God. You still need to have alms and prayers going up and down. And everybody who communes with God gets to hear from God and gets to be used by God. And so God wants to always keep us in an atmosphere where God can show up and work. And so verse 33 says, so I sent for you immediately, and you have been kind enough to come. Now then, we are all here present before God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. And so here he is. Peter is now at the home of Cornelius, and because of his communion with God, he's testifying, right? He's saying, this is what God told me to call you. He told me to send for you. That's why I sent these men to you, so that you would know that I needed you to come. But if God had not have spoken to Peter, Peter would not have come. Hallelujah. Do you see that connection? You see, God deals with both parties. He deals with the one who he wants to use, but he also deals with the one who needs to hear from God. And that is what God does. And God let the one who needed to hear send for help. And I would submit that we need to be the kind of people that God can use to help others. That God would put it on somebody's heart to send for us. Have you ever been in a situation on your job where you might be the only Christian on your job? You might be the only one representing the Lord and the things of God. And at first it may seem like it's intimidating and like it's, you know, you feel like you're just trying to hold back. But then all of a sudden something happens in one of your coworkers' lives. And who do they call? Oh, the Lord puts you on their heart so that they can call you. Hallelujah. Why? Because your alms and your prayers have been going up before God, and you have established a relationship in the presence of God, and now your conditions are right for you to move into action. Oh, I pray that you're ready to be used. And so Peter, he opened his mouth. I think it says that because a lot of times we don't know what to say. What are you going to say? And somebody gives you a whole story about how an angel showed up and spoke to you. And you're like, yeah, I believe it. Angels that speak to me. But I don't know. What do you want me to say? God, what do you want me to do? But Peter, when he opened his mouth, the Spirit of God swept in. And that is why Satan wants to keep us silent. He doesn't want us to speak. He doesn't want us to be used of God. And so we have to learn how to just open your mouth. Just open your mouth and say something. And as you begin to speak, God will take over. And it says, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. Do you see that? These are the conditions that no matter where you are from, no matter who you are, if you fear the Lord and do what is right, then God welcomes you. Hallelujah. God welcomes you. He will send his word to meet you. He will send someone. He will raise up someone to lead you to Jesus. Hallelujah. And the word of God will come to you. In fact, verse 36 says, the word which he had sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. Hallelujah. You see that? I love how that this emphasis is here. He is Lord of all. And so it's not just anybody. It's not just any religion. It's not just God out there. It's not that. But it is Jesus Christ. God will send someone to minister the revelation of Jesus to you or to whoever the lost may be. And we could have confidence in God in these things. And so it says, you yourselves know the thing which took place throughout all Judea, starting from Galilee after the baptism which John proclaimed. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. The condition of that the atmosphere is right in your life is God will use you to bring healing and deliverance to the people in your life. God will use you to bring the word of God, to bring the life of the Spirit of God so that you can do the things the way Jesus did them, just like Jesus did. In fact, the word of God says you can do greater works. Hallelujah. And you can have even greater impact as the Spirit of God operates in your life. He says, we are witnesses of all the things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They also put him to death by hanging him on a cross, God raising him on the third day, and granted that he became visible. Not to all the people, but to witnesses. Do you see that? Not to all the people, but to witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God. That is to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. In other words, we were with him all the way to the end. We had faith in God. We had a relationship with Jesus Christ. And saints of God, you and I must maintain our relationship with Jesus. And as we do, we will see the revelation of God as he is, the word of God says. We don't know what we shall be, but we do know this. We shall see him as he is. And he ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly to testify that this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. This is what God is working out. You and I are appointed. We're called to testify. You have to be one who shares of the things of God. Keep your atmosphere right. Keep your conditions right. It says of him, all the prophets bear witness that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. And while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who were listening to the message. Woo! Hallelujah! All he did was testify of who Jesus is. He just told a story of what Christ had done. And as he was speaking, hallelujah, you could tell he was a little long-winded here. Hallelujah. And so God says, look, I can't wait for him to finish telling this whole story. While he's still speaking, the Spirit of the Lord just fell. Booyah! God just already at work. And sometimes we have too much to say. Maybe I'm guilty of that myself. Lord, have mercy. Oh, my goodness, look at that. I'm already, hallelujah. All right, well, I'm going to tell you that God is already at work. I pray the Spirit is falling on you. You forget what time it was. Hallelujah. And all the circumcised believers who came with Peter, they were amazed. Why? Think about this. Because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. That is huge. That is significant. The Spirit of God, the anointing, the Holy Ghost had fallen on them. They were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, when you get filled with the Spirit, you will speak with tongues and exalt God. You will begin to speak in the Spirit. The Spirit of God overwhelms us. God raises us up, and you begin to worship God. You begin to glorify God. You begin to magnify his name. You begin to exalt God. Oh, have you ever exalted God? I mean exalted God. Oh, my Lord. When you realize what God has done for you, what he is restoring in your life, God wants to deliver the faithful and set free those who are obedient to his direction. God will establish himself. He will raise you up. He will enable you to overcome. And even when Peter was in prison, he was praying. Remember, he was arrested for all that he was doing. And it says that it was by prayer for him was being raised up or lifted up while Peter was in prison. The saints were praying for him. They were fervently praying, but it was the church that was praying. When a church prays, that's why we have prayer where we come together. That's why we have prayer before the service starts, and then we have prayer on the second Sunday in the afternoon. We have prayer on Monday nights. Why? Because we want God to have ascending and descending alms, covering all the things that we need to have covered in our lives. I hope you're praying at home. Sometimes people pray, you know, in the group so long that they pray as if that was the only day they were going to pray for the rest of the week. And I tell you, we have to have alms and prayers going up all the time. All the time, all the time. And as we are praying, the Spirit of God is at work. It says on that very night when Herod was about to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. Here he is in prison. He's bound with two chains and the guards are in front of the door. And there they are. They're watching over the prison. So that's well guarded. And an angel of the Lord suddenly appears and a light shone in the cell and he struck Peter's side. Wake up, man. Here he is chained. He's got a soldier on either side and Peter sleeping. I don't know if these other two guys were sleeping or not, but Peter was resting in the arms of the soldiers. Hallelujah. Trusting in God. And that shows that even when you're bound by the enemy, God has the power to deliver. Hallelujah. And so the angels showed up and said, get up quickly. And what? When he got up, his chains fell off his hands. Notice he didn't sit there and say, but I can't. I'm chained to these two soldiers. No, they said, get up. And guess what he did? He got up. And as he got up, the chains came off. Just like as the two servants were on their way to deliver the message, that God began to speak to Peter. And saints of God, when you're faithful to God, when you're on your way to do the things that God has called you to do, when you are obedient to the Lord, as you are on your way in obedience, as you're engaged in the process of obedience, God begins to do a work. And you will be surprised what God will do. It says the angel said to him, gird yourself and put on your sandals. And he did so. And he said to him, wrap your cloak around you and follow me. In other words, he said, get up and get dressed. Follow me. Get yourself together. I'm sure you're there in the dungeon, in the cell, and you're in a, it was a terrible place to be. And he says, get dressed. We're on our way. We're going home. We're going home. And he didn't ask any questions. You don't see any comments here by Peter, right? And you know he liked to talk, right? We know that. And so he had nothing to say. He just did what he was told. And there's a time to talk, and there's a time to just do what you're told. And we have to learn how to be obedient and do what God says. God wants to reestablish your garden conditions. God wants to enable you to overcome, to know that he is with you. He is your source of provision. He is the way maker. He is the one who provides for us. And he is the one who opens doors that no man can shut. He is the one who has established us, who are chosen of God to be holy and beloved, so that we can have the heart of compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience that only comes from God. And as God is doing this work, you and I can establish the atmospheric conditions so that we can fulfill the calling of God upon our lives, suited up and appointed for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. The seas of God, oh, you give praise of our ways, and we turn to you again. In the presence of God, knowing that God has established a garden-like atmosphere in your life. And as you apply these simple principles that God has given us, you can have a divine experience and encounter with God. God has not forsaken us. All we need to do is establish the right atmospheric conditions for God to show up. Nobody goes out into space without a space suit. Why? Because the atmospheric conditions are not conducive to you staying alive. Hallelujah. And so we need the atmosphere to be right everywhere you go. When you go to your job, it's like going into outer space. You got to suit up. And when you travel with unbelievers and you find yourself with relatives and people who don't walk with God, you need to be able to discern the atmospheric conditions and then begin to establish his presence to sustain you and to keep you so that you don't get sucked in to a beguiling atmosphere that will cause you to become outside of who you really are. And you find yourself out of the garden. I pray that God is establishing you in the garden, that the Spirit of the Lord is at work in the midst of your heart and your mind and your life, so that you can be one who controls and is able to maintain your own atmosphere so that the atmosphere outside of your authority does not overwhelm you. But your atmosphere is established by you, and God can commune with you and enable you to overcome. No matter what it is, the atmosphere that he leads you into, you will be able to be established in the power of the Spirit of God. And so, Lord, we thank you for your word today. And we ask, oh God, that you would cover us, your people. Give us wisdom so that we can apply these principles. Overcome every strategy of the enemy that would cause us to doubt who we are and what you are doing in our life. That we would be able to be the representatives and the ambassadors you've called us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, Lord. Woo, come on. We got the choir here. Oh, oh, oh.